Hour number two of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, day after the Super Bowl on CBS Sports Radio. We've all made it safe back to New York City after what was a tremendous week out in the desert with all the parties, waste management, the game, obviously, last night as the Kansas City Chiefs do find a way to take down the Philadelphia Eagles in a classic game, 38-35. And you could have a classic game but also be disappointed at the end. Because, yes, the Eagles' offensive line was not where it normally is at, and the run game did not really perform well outside of Jalen Hurts last night. And I thought the play calling did get conservative, but still the Eagles were able to put up 35 points, and what has usually been a great Eagles defense was the farthest thing from it last night, as Patrick Mahomes did not get sacked once in the game. But with how awesome that game was and how I really didn't have any complaints through the first 58 minutes, the final 2 minutes, it leaves a very bitter taste in my mouth, not because of who won the game and who lost the game, just how it did come to a close with the officiating call of a hold. I thought that it wasn't something that was being called that way. I'm all about consistency, and it was inconsistent then with it being not called for most of the game. In the final 2 minutes, the refs do make it about themselves. I agree with Greg Olson, where I thought that it was very incidental. It should not have been called in the moment last night. And I know that it's not on if the ball is catchable or not, but I don't think that held really did impact the play whatsoever. So I vehemently disagree with the decision to throw the flag. But outside of that, we had what was a wonderful Super Bowl. And you once again get Patrick Mahomes winning a Super Bowl MVP. Was it his greatest game that I've ever seen him play? No, he only had 180-something passing yards, but on one ankle. And the fact that he only had one incompletion in the second half, it was a phenomenal performance by Kansas City. And here's the other thing, Hickey, that we didn't talk about. And I've been asking this all year long. In the postseason, if they were down big, because we've seen these kind of scripts by Kansas City, where in playoff games, they go down big and they find a way to come back and find a way to prevail and go out on top. I was wondering if they went down big in the postseason, if this was going to be the time all throughout the year. I wasn't concerned about the regular season where they would miss Tyreek Hill because how quickly they could take a deep shot and get him back, you know, into the end zone and quickly put a little bit of a hole into the deficit of what the lead is and narrow that gap a little bit. All throughout the year, it's crazy. You lose a player like Tyreek Hill, and the biggest moment last night, was anyone saying, oh, wow, the Chiefs really needed Tyreek Hill to go win that game? Absolutely not. And you see what is the diversity of the weapons, which is nothing spectacular outside of Travis Kelce. Like Juju Smith-Schuster, solid receiver. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, okay wide receiver. But then you see guys like McKinnon and Pacheco and Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. It's not like those guys really dominate. You know, Pacheco's good back. I think he has a good future ahead of him coming out of Rutgers. But to win this Super Bowl, this one is a lot more impressive than the first one. Now, this is like ranking what's your favorite child. So it's like always like a stupid conversation. Don't get me wrong. The first Super Bowl, Mahomes played like garbage for the first three quarters. And then he woke up in the fourth quarter up against San Francisco. But you look at the totality of the story in this one and the season in this one, what happened in the first one pales in comparison to what happened in this season because they lost Tyreek Hill. And that was like an unstoppable force. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes, and take Hill out of the lineup with him now going to Miami and people thinking you're vulnerable with the crap and the nonsense that we got fed about the Broncos and the Raiders. And right, the Chargers right there for the taking, you know, to try to usurp a team like Kansas City. And then you had Josh Allen. I know Joe Burrow is a heck of a quarterback and beat Mahomes three straight times, but they lost this time around. With how much we heard about the depth of this conference, the Chiefs finally taking a hit back, it shows you as long as you have 15, and I know Travis Kelce had a touchdown early on, but yeah, as long as you have 15 and 87 and mainly 15, as long as he stays healthy, and I know he's playing on one ankle, as long as he's able to be on the field, you're always going to have a shot to win a game. Doesn't matter how large of a hole that you fall into right out of the gate.
Ankle injury, no Tyreek Hill, 10-point halftime deficit by far the biggest win of his career, easily. Incredible.
You know what you've turned into?
What?
Mahomes, biggest win of his career guy. He said that AFC title game, didn't you, two weeks ago?
Yeah, it was. Was it not? And this win?
No, I don't think the AFC title game was. And we talked about this last week. As impressive as it was, what he was able to do in the second quarter up against the Texans, where they're down 24-0, to make it all back in that quarter, I thought that one was more impressive. Also, being on the verge of getting knocked out last year in that AFC divisional round game and getting the ball down the field in 13 seconds, I thought that was more impressive than the AFC title game, talking 2 weeks ago. And then the Super Bowl. I thought Carrington Harrison made a great point where they were down 10 points with, I think it was 7.5 to play, and to come back from that, I thought it was more impressive than what we saw 2 weeks ago, which is phenomenal. It's remarkable what he did 2 weeks ago. I just thought those moments were more impressive. Now, if you want to, it's not even the individual game last night, but this season was the most, and it's not the best statistical season necessarily in Mahomes' career. It's not the most touchdown passes he's thrown for, but when you take away a weapon like Tyreek Hill, this was the most impressed I've been out of Mahomes out of any individual season, just with how it was kind of like, weird to say, like skill position by committee outside of Travis Kelce, which is how many different guys that they plugged and played and relied on throughout the year. And that's what great quarterbacks do, right? We saw it with Brady for so many years, not have the most talent. You know, yeah, sure, you get a Randy Moss. Yeah, sure, you get a Rob Gronkowski. But then there was years where, look what Brady did with receivers that were like, eh, nothing really that you write home about. So that, to me, is what makes this one the most impressive season, that's the way I'll say it, of Mahomes' career. Anyway, 5 questions, 5 answers. Howard Eskin's going to join us coming up at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, the Eagles sideline reporter. But let's get to a little onside's offside. Hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, what do we got?
Let's continue to talk about Zach Patrick Mahomes, because he added and continues to add to arguably the greatest start of any NFL player maybe we've ever seen. He captured his second Super Bowl and second Super Bowl MVP award this past week. So in 5 years as a starter, we look at Mahomes' career in totality. He now has 2 rings, 2 MVP awards, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, 3 Super Bowl appearances, 5 AFC title game appearances. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Patrick Mahomes has gotten off to the greatest start of any NFL player ever.
So it's not the most Super Bowl victories, because right, Brady had 3 in his first 5 years of his career. But when you look at the totality of it, so the individual performance of the regular season, the performances in the postseason, the rings, the MVPs, the Super Bowl MVPs. Yeah, I would say that's the greatest start to a career that we've seen out of any NFL player in the modern era. Onsides.
Unfortunately, a great Super Bowl did end in controversy with officiating yet again, as Eagles defensive back James Bradbury was flagged for defensive holding on 3rd down that gave the Chiefs a 1st down late with less than 2 minutes to go, allowed the Chiefs to salt down the clock, eventually kicking the game-winning field goal with just 8 seconds left. Now, after the game, Bradbury, the man who was flagged, admitted that he did hold Juju Smith-Schuster and that the refs made the right call. Onsides or offsides, Zach, the referees got the call right.
The referees did not get this call right. It's very simple. I look for consistency earlier in the game. They didn't call holding. Later in the game, they do call holding. It was worse earlier in the game. I thought this was very ticky-tacky. I think if you show this to 10 officials, I would think maybe 7 would say, we're not going to call it. Maybe 3 at most, and that could be benevolent, would say they would call it. Unfortunately, one of the officials on the field last night elected to call that. There's no way the refs got that one right. They should have kicked the field goal. Eagles should have got the ball back with under 2 minutes to go, and then who knows how the game would have been played out. It was too ticky-tacky for me. I did not really think that there was anything egregious. I like what Greg Olsen said right away. He had his hand on his back. It was very incidental, in my opinion. So, therefore, in that spot, since it wasn't called earlier, and all I look for is consistency, because we never know how roughing the passer is going to get called. Pass interference is going to get called. What is a catch? What isn't a catch? You just have no clue anymore. I just want some consistency the way that it's getting called throughout the game. We did not get that in the final 2 minutes, so that's my biggest reason why the refs got that one wrong last night. So you asked me if the refs got it right. Absolutely not. Offside.
Offside.
Both quarterbacks yesterday were sensational. Jalen Hurts was surgical, going 27-38 for 304 passing yards. He also added in 70 rushing yards and totaled 4 touchdowns. On the other end, Patrick Mahomes, who did not have the ball a lot, did make the most of it, went 21-27, 182 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, also added in 44 rushing yards as well. The 35 points the Eagles scored were the most by a losing team in Super Bowl history. Onsides or offsides? Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes.
Is this supposed to be a trick question, just wondering?
No.
Because I think Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes last night.
Yeah, I agree. I'm
I was just asking because he had the 3 rushing touchdowns, 70 yards. He threw for 300. I know that he gave a touchdown up and you had a penalty right before that. And then I didn't like the approach anyway on that 3rd and 6. But yeah, other than that one mistake, Jalen Hurts was pretty much flawless in the game. And I look at performances that did not result in a championship. In like the modern era, I talk about 2. We talk about Larry Fitzgerald's entire postseason, where he put up numbers in that postseason that receivers dream of putting up in an individual season. Did not end in a title when Santonio Holmes made that catch up against the Arizona Cardinals. T.O. in Super Bowl 39 on one leg was remarkable. What Jalen Hurts did last night was one of the greatest big game performances in an individual game that you will see that did not result in a championship. Because if I would have told you before the game last night that Hurts would run for 3 touchdowns and throw for 1, throw for 300 yards, have 70 yards on the ground, and the Eagles will put up 35 points in the game, you would have said, how many points did they win the game by? And they ended up losing the game by 3. Not exactly the same thing, but you know what it reminds me a lot like? And that's why I made the comparison to Super Bowl 52 earlier. Like when Brady threw, now Brady doesn't run the ball, but when Brady threw for 505 yards in that Super Bowl and lost the game, and he made one mistake. It was a strip sack. Hurts made one mistake. Like that's not the reason why they lost the game, but it was very similar how the Patriots lost in Super Bowl 52. It kind of felt similar in the way that the Eagles lost. So you see the time of possession, you see the yards. The Eagles should have won that game last night. But they didn't, and sometimes you just got to tip your cap to that Chiefs offense, and also you got to give credit to the way that they just exposed that defense, and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. I know you could talk about the turf, but you had multiple guys just contributing to that offensive line. I thought was the biggest difference in the game as well, along with Andy Reid. So, yeah, Jalen Hurts outplayed Mahomes last night. Onsides.
One of the biggest keys going into this game were the trenches. The Eagles came into this one with the 3rd most sacks in a season in NFL history with 70. The Chiefs' offensive line, they had the task of trying to keep a gimpy Mahomes upright. And Kansas City's front 5 yesterday, they were outstanding. Not only did they not allow a sack, they also got the running game going, averaging 6.1 yards per carry as it did outrush the Eagles in this one yesterday. Onsides or offsides, Zach, you were more impressed with the Chiefs' offensive line then you were disappointed with the Eagles' defensive line.
So these questions are always tricky because if you answer one way, it makes it seem like you weren't actually that impressed with something or that disappointed with the other thing. Like, for example, if I'm going to answer this saying I was more disappointed with the Eagles' defensive line. This does not mean that I'm sitting here saying, oh, yeah, I wasn't impressed at all with the Chiefs' offensive line. I was. But when you have a team, and this is very simple, have 70 sacks in the regular season, and they don't get 1 in the Super Bowl, I know it's easy to say, oh, you got to give credit to the Chiefs offensive line. I did that. But to me, that's still more disappointing because if you would have told me before the game that the Eagles would have had 0 sacks in the game, I probably would have laughed at you. So I'm answering this question offside because I was more disappointed than the Eagles defensive line.
Offside.
And finally, Andy Reid continued to add to his legacy last night as Reid won his 2nd Super Bowl, becoming just the 13th head coach to win multiple rings. He's now 5th all-time in wins, 2nd in postseason wins, and has appeared in 10 conference championship games. There was some reports from Jay Glazer before the game that Maybe Andy Reid would consider retiring after the season.
This is a yearly tradition now by Jay Glazer. Aaron Donald last year, Andy Reid this year, and neither ended up doing so.
0-2 is Reid did say after the game that he's not going anywhere, does not plan on retiring. So you think he has a chance to add now to his legacy going forward. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Andy Reid, when it's all said and done, will be a top five coach in NFL history.
Yeah, because he's done it in two spots. I know he didn't win a championship with the Eagles, but he kind of changed the direction of that franchise, got to five NFC title games, got to one Super Bowl, and now in Kansas City, he's won two Super Bowls. And if he coaches another 5 years, I got to think he's going to get at least one more. So you have all the wins in Philly and then what he's doing in Kansas City, and now you have two championships. It's kind of crazy because we grew up thinking Andy Reid as an Eagle. In 10 years, like when we're looking back at his career, you're going to think of the Chiefs first. You think of the Chiefs right now first. But there's going to be, like if you're, I don't know, 10 or 15 right now, you know Andy Reid is the head football coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and Hickey and I were not ancient. We're not decrepit, right? Hopefully our time is nowhere close to being up. But Andy Reid will be a top five coach of all time. Two different spots, tremendous amount of success. And now he's won multiple Super Bowls and probably will win another one if he coaches another 5 years. Yeah, he'll be a top five coach in NFL history on sides. We will take a break. When we come on back, we will go to a man that was on the sideline for the game last night on the Eagles radio network. We'll get his reaction. The legendary Howard Eskin joins us next.
Betting 101, increasing one's bankroll. Take $200, deposit it at BetUS. Watch it grow to $450. Now that is science. Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS.
Be like me, bet for free.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's a very low bar, but I'll say this. When we were out in Phoenix for the Super Bowl, when I was walking around that media center, I thought the best-dressed man all throughout the week was Howard Eskin, and then he just took it to a different level on Super Bowl Sunday. And the legendary sports talker on Sports Radio 94 WIP and also does the Eagle sideline for many years. It was on the sideline last night. Is kind enough to join us right now. Howard Eskin, how you been?
I've never had a bad day in my life. Just another great day. It was a bad moments last night for the Eagles, but you know, you can't let it just ruin your whole day. But I'm doing great.
What was your biggest takeaway from last night?
Can't make mistakes, and you can't make mistakes in a big game. So it's compounded. You can make mistakes against bad teams, and there was a lot of teams in the NFL this year that were bad teams. You can make mistakes and get away with it. You can't make mistakes against a good team, and Kansas City was the best team in the AFC, and you can't make mistakes against them. The fumble's a mistake. The punt return is a mistake. The big punt return, which led, obviously, to a score. The two blown coverages on defense were mistakes on defense. So you just can't make mistakes, and that's my takeaway from the game. You know, you're up by the Eagles are only, I think, only the second team in Super Bowl history that had a 10-point lead or more and lost the game at halftime.
The other one was the Falcons, obviously.
Yeah. And then Kyle Shanahan screwed that up.
But, that is for sure.
And I'll never forget how he screwed that up. But nonetheless, so that's my take. Well, you can't make mistakes. And, you know, and it's not just, you know, I know that the media just loves to focus on one thing. Oh, the penalty against James Bradbury at the end or near the end of the game, but even he admitted that, you know, by the letter of the law, that's a penalty. Now, at some insignificant game, the officials may not call that, but there's so many cameras on things, there's so many things going on. It could have gone either way, but when the defender admits that it was a penalty, and you know, he owned it. So but the media is great. They just love to focus on that. Well, and that doesn't mean the Eagles would have won the game, but there's players on the team, obviously, that believe they would have gotten it back with about a minute and 20 left and maybe could have at least tied the game. So whatever the case may be, I'm not focusing on that play. Could have gone either way, but it could have been a penalty too. So you can't say the official was wrong. So that's pretty much my takeaways. Obviously, Hurts played really, really, really well. Mahomes is just unbelievable. He's just so, so good. Andy Reid proved again he's the best coach in the National Football League. It's not even a thought that he's better than Bill Belichick. It's not even a thought that he's better than him. So, you kind of look at a lot of different things, but it's not one. And Nick Sirianni said it last night after the game. It's not just one thing. If you lose the game, it's not just one thing. So it's multiple things.
Well, Howard, let me just go to the defense here. I know that the field was not good last night, and it was a joke, but a team that had 70 sacks in the regular season to have zero last night of the big game, like, that stunned me.
That's not the field. Let me tell you, they did some work. I talked to some people there, and I mentioned it on our Eagles radio broadcast last night. They worked on that field all week. Normally, that field goes outside to get sun, and then they roll it back in. That's the way that field at that stadium works. They kept it indoors for the last 4 days, and they hardened it up. It wasn't as – the Eagles played there earlier in the year. Then it was a joke. It was too soft. I didn't see – there was guys slipping, but I don't know what the reason for that was. But earlier, you lost traction because the sand base underneath was coming up. So I'm not going to blame it on the field. Here's what I'm going to tell you about the sacks. And Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, who interviewed today in Arizona, and I don't know who's going to get that head coaching job. Might be him, it might be Mike Kafka, or the guy from, what is it, Cincinnati. But whatever the case may be, he's not big. Sacks don't move him. It's not about sacks, it's about pressures. And they pressured Mahomes. They pressured Mahomes, but he's so elusive, even with an ankle that wasn't 100%. He's so good and so elusive, it doesn't make any difference. So are you going to get sacks? It's harder against that guy to get sacks, much, much harder.
Now, I vehemently disagree with you, Howard Eskin, just in terms of saying that Reed is better than Belichick. But I will say this. Last night, I know MVP goes to the most valuable player. If I had to give it to a person, if it was most valuable person, it was Andy Reid, because as much as I like Sirianni, I thought he ran circles around the Eagles with the adjustments they made at halftime.
Well, the player's got to make plays, too. So, he was out. There's no question that Sirianni was outcoached. But the players didn't make plays. The fumble, the punt return, the two blown coverages on defense. So when you look at that, actually one of them, was the play call on defense. You maybe can lean a little bit to the defensive coordinator. But regardless of all that, what has Belichick done since Tom Brady's left? Losing record. Did you notice that?
I made the playoffs 1 year.
Does he have a losing record since Brady left?
Sure, but what has Andy Reid done before Patrick Mahomes?
He had 5 conference championships with the Eagles. Now,
well aware.
He didn't have Tom Brady as his quarterback.
Okay, but when he had Mahomes, he did lose to Brady. And Belichick.
But that's one. You're talking about one game. I mean, it's just he lost to better teams. He lost to Brady. He lost to Tom Brady. And McNabb threw 3 interceptions that game, too, by the way. So
Belichick doesn't get credit for that?
Well, no. And
no?
Players make plays. Donovan McNabb did not play his best game in that Super Bowl. Bill Belichick, or Belichick, as he should be known, is not a better coach than Andy Reid. And Mahomes makes the team look better, but he did it. Andy Reid did it. With Donovan McNabb, who's the best quarterback in Eagles history, but he's nothing close to the way Brady played in those years. Nothing close. And they played in the worst division in football for, 15 years? So they always had a bye. They always had home field. They always had an advantage. And those Super Bowls that Brady is credited and your boy Belichick's credited with winning, 2 of those, the Patriots didn't win. Seattle lost that game by Russell Wilson. The play call was stupid, and Russell Wilson making the pass was stupid. And then,
they did win them. They still won them.
Okay, but the other team,
come on, Howard.
But the other team lost the game. They coaches can lose games, and
you hate Belichick. I know this, Howard. I love you, but you hate Belichick.
I don't hate Belichick.
Yes, you do.
I don't hate anybody, but I think he's a very good coach, but he's not the best in football. And without Tom Brady, he's just another coach. What are the Patriots doing now? Is he resurrecting that team? By the way, he's the one that makes the personnel decisions too. They drafted 3 tight ends. What was it? A few years ago.
Yeah.
And every one of them are stiffs. Every one of them. And Mac Jones, I think, is a mediocre quarterback. He's the one that makes those decisions too. Just to break the news to you.
So what Andy Reid? I love Andy Reid. I think he's a phenomenal football coach, but. Two, three years takes away what Belichick did for the last 20?
I just explained to you that easy division, Tom Brady. Belichick, he's a really good coach. He got caught cheating. And who knows how much he got away with.
Uh-huh.
And that's another thing. They didn't catch him right away. And then, and he knew about Brady deflated. The whole team cheated. Brady cheated. Belichick cheated. They all cheated. And he didn't get caught until the end. So how many of those games did he win because he cheated? We don't know that. We don't have the answer to that. But I'm just pointing that out. I'm just rolling out the facts here.
I also remember being in Philadelphia when one Howard Eskin was standing next to myself, Merrill Reese, and Peter King, and you were saying that Montana's better than Brady, and Peter King and Merrill Reese were vehemently disagreeing with you. So I just think there's a little bias there by you. It's okay.
Well,
Belichick, hate Brady. Just say it.
Brady's too, because Montana never lost a Super Bowl, never threw an interception in the Super Bowl.
Would you rather have 7 titles or 4 titles?
Well, like I said, 2 of them the other coach.
But would you rather have 7 or 4? Or would you rather go to 10 or just go to 4?
Well, basically Brady's 500 at Super Bowls.
Well, what? Come on, Howard. And then what do you do with the Giant ones? Do we just say all of a sudden that the Giant one with Tyree and Manningham that we count those as losses?
No,
we don't try to count them as wins?
No, because the Giants defense, and that's another issue. Eli Manning should not have been the MVP in that game. That when they were undefeated, he should not have been the MVP. Somebody on that defensive line should have been the MVP.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this: just going back to the game last night, instead of dealing with your 20 years of hatred with the Patriots and Belichick and Brady.
You went back 20 years. I just said Andy Reid was the best coach in football.
That's fine. All. Okay. Let me ask you this though: the holding last night. I know you touched on it. Here's my biggest problem with it. I just want consistency from the officials, and they were not consistent last night. Like, I didn't think to me that was egregious where it should have been called.
There's so many cameras on it. I don't know whether it should have been called. Is it a penalty? To some people, yes. To other people, no. It could have. There's no question. It could have gone either way. Hey, listen. I wanted to see the Eagles win.
Yeah.
It's better for everybody here in Philadelphia. But it could have gone either way. But the officiating this year has not been that good. It's been average at best. Yeah, average at best. So what are you going to do? I mean, it's just I don't know what you can do, and you can't challenge those calls. But he did grab. It was a small penalty. But he did grab his jersey. And on that situation, the officials got to react. Again, it could have gone either way. And if it went either way, there'd still be people complaining. Whatever way it went, there would have been people complaining. So, but the officials this season, I don't know what the NFL can do about it. I don't know what... When you look at a lot of sports, I don't know what a lot of sports can do.
Well, Goodell says the officiating's been as good as ever, so they're not going to do anything about it.
Well, what's he going to say? It's terrible?
But there's a difference. To say it says it's the best he's ever seen, that's a little bit too much. I think we could all know when you're saying something just to say something. Like, that was a little bit too over the top at that press conference.
How many coaches tell us the truth during their news conferences?
None. Pretty much
zero. A few. Yeah. Very few. Yeah. Okay, that's the way it is. That's what it is, because the media blows things up. But whatever he says because – I mean, he's the commissioner of the league. He's just protecting the league. He doesn't want that to be the issue of that game. And in reality, it shouldn't be the issue. Good call or bad call, the Eagles made too many mistakes. You can't blame it on one play.
Did you think the play calling in the second half got too conservative for Philadelphia?
No, I just don't think they made – well, Kansas City just kept on scoring. So – I didn't notice it, and I didn't look back at the plays. I didn't notice it got too conservative. They did some things. They threw the ball. Hey, they threw deep a lot. Jalen Hurts threw deep a lot. So I don't know that it got too conservative. Again, they didn't run the ball as well as they had. I think Miles Sanders was – it wasn't his kind of game. It wasn't
seven carries, 60. Like that to me, Howard, I think is a big takeaway from the game. Like, Hurts was phenomenal. He was wonderful. We saw what he did on the ground through the air. Gainwell, 21 yards. Sanders, 16. Boston Scott, 8. Like, that to me, we talked the two stunning parts that the Eagles didn't get a sack, and then the three running backs, no one really had a good game out of the three.
Well, Sanders went to the locker room in the first half. And they never reported an injury, and it wasn't serious enough to report it. But my understanding was he had a hand injury. And I saw him flexing his hand on the sidelines a few times. He was grabbing a football and gripping it hard to secure the football just to work on his hand. I don't think it's a severe injury. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't be able to play. I didn't see any tape on it. That doesn't mean anything. But he did... there's no reason that he would have only gotten seven carries if everything was right. I didn't think Boston Scott was going to be a big part of the offense running, because Gainwell has really played well over the last part of the season. He's really done a good job, both catching the ball and running the football. So I'm not surprised at Sanders. I'm a little surprised they didn't run it as well as they have been running it. So there's a lot of different things, but I'm not shocked at no sacks because Mahomes is just so unbelievable.
I'll say this, Howard, too. This game, different outcome, obviously, because the Eagles lost, but it reminded me a lot like Super Bowl 52 minus the ending.
You know, Super Bowl 52 was just – but the whole game had offense. This is, I see 35, 38 and 35, and that was 41-33. But it was just back and forth. This game, I didn't look at it the same way, maybe because the Eagles were a surprise to win in Super Bowl 52, and everybody in Philadelphia expected them to win this game. The offense at times, like, Kansas City didn't really do well. Remember
but the first half, that was 22-12, that first half back at Super Bowl 52.
Yes, but what was it? But this Super Bowl, seven of those points, of those 14 points, were scored on a fumble.
Yeah.
Defensive touchdown. So, by the way, if somebody bet that would have been, they would have won a lot of money. I just thought about that. That was a big price on a defensive touchdown for a score. It was a big price. But, anybody that bets is just taking a shot because he's betting 25 prop bets. It is kind of crazy what goes on with that stuff.
Yeah, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, take care, Zach.
You got it. There's Howard Eskin, who we know is the biggest Andy Reid fan in the world and the biggest hater of Bill Belichick. That's why I appreciate Howard, because no matter what it is, it always somehow goes back to Brady and Belichick. But hey, it is what it is. How many times did Andy Reid lose a big game to Belichick, but now all of a sudden Andy Reid's better than Belichick? Ugh, I couldn't take that.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And it's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Just giving you a few more thoughts, obviously, about a Super Bowl 57. After last night, if you were skeptical heading into the game, I don't know how you could still have any hesitance about Jalen Hurts. What I saw from Hurts last night, even though the Eagles lost, once again just reassures that he's a franchise quarterback. Because that's the biggest stage there is. And I know you could talk about the fumble, and that was inexcusable. But he was the reason why the Eagles had the big lead. And he was the reason, even when momentum started to shift, why they were able to go out there and tie back up the game. Like, Hickey, if you look at the two-point conversion play, I still don't know how he got into the end zone, because there's three or four Chiefs defenders that are around him, and he's clearly 2 yards out. And I know they're running down the field in order before you cut back up and in, but he muscled his way into the end zone. And this was not, right, like the QB sneak where you're short and then you just get pushed over the line. That was him on his own going through three or four defenders, it looked like.
You see those powerlifting skills come to come to use in a perfect way there. Yeah, that was literally just him on, what, two or three Chiefs kind of navigating his way through, like, the parting Red Sea?
Yeah, and
crazy.
And I define – everyone has their own definition for a franchise quarterback. I have two, and just two things I look for. If it's third down, and I don't care what the distance is, third and one or third and 15, doesn't matter to me. If you're a franchise quarterback, there's no doubt about it in my mind that you're getting the third down conversion. That's something I've said for years. The other part is, when you face adversity, how do you respond to it? And last night, the Eagles were phenomenal on third down. But when you look at the two moments where this game could have really got ugly, or momentum was starting to shift, you saw right after the Hurts fumble, which was his fault, bounce back, answer back with a touchdown. Then, after Kansas City didn't have the lead the entire game, not only takes the lead, but then tacks on another score, and they go up by 8. He leads them down the field, has that big throw to Devontae Smith, and then runs it in once again for his third rushing touchdown. Those two moments, if you, like, I know if you're an Eagles fan, today sucks, today's miserable, because I don't want to hear, oh, this was a surprise, oh, you didn't expect to be here before the start of the season. When you get to these moments, you have to capitalize. You have to pounce, because you never know when you're going to get back. But if you could take, I guess, one positive from the loss, it's that you know Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback. When he got drafted, it was insurance, because you didn't know if Wentz was going to be able to be healthy. Last year, he was solid, but then the playoff game, he was horrible. I know it helps when you go bring in an A.J. Brown. You have year number two of Devontae Smith, but find me any quarterback that wins on his own. You have to have a good team. And Jalen Hurts this year, we always know where the leadership has been, but he has elevated his game so much, and he took advantage of the opportunities that were there. And I look back at that game last night. I know I could talk about the holding call at the end. I know I could talk about the play calling being conservative, and also, like, the fumble, the one mistake that Hurts made. But the reason why the Eagles lost the game, and I know you got to tip your cap to Andy Reid when you say this. You got to tip your cap to Mahomes, their run game too. But that Eagles defense let them down. That Eagles defense, right, the first two games of the playoffs, the offense didn't play great, but the defense was so dominant. And in the biggest spot, on the biggest stage, that defense that has been great all year long and was starting to get more and more national recognition, it folded. It failed them. Because you look at the time of possession, you look at the yards, this should have been an Eagles victory, but it wasn't. And when you go up against a great coach and a great quarterback, there's times where you're watching a game, and I'm not saying the wrong team won necessarily, but you're watching a game and you have a feel of who's going to win. And for most of that game, I thought the Eagles were going to win. I did. And it just shows you, when you have 15, you have Reed as well, there's sometimes things don't really make sense. And that was one of those moments last night, Hickey, where it just shows you still, even without Tyreek Hill, how tough it is. And Mahomes on one leg, how tough it is to beat Kansas City. And I said that in the summer, right? People were like saying, oh, the Chiefs are going to fall off. And I get it. Like, I didn't even pick them to win the division this year. But when we were given a few words on each team, I said Kansas City was going to be a really tough out. Because if you give them a chance and you have them on the ropes and you don't knock them out, 9.9 times out of 10, they're like a snake in the grass. And they come back up to bite you. And they end up winning right when you least expect it.
And that's why this loss is going to hurt Eagles fans, players for a while. Because, look, Jalen Hurts is going to get paid. And he's going to get paid a lot of money, deservedly so, this offseason.
And that's the nature of the beast.
And you see now, though, that means that that team is going to get worse. Like, this was, you could make the argument, maybe the best team that Jalen Hurts will ever have around him in terms of 1 through 53. Because look, on the other side, Mahomes got paid a ton. And you see some areas in the defense where you have two rookies in the secondary playing. Mm-hmm. So Kansas City is, you know, the receivers are not great. You've had to, you know, trade away one of the best receivers in Tyreek Hill because you couldn't afford him. This was a chance when Jalen Hurts was making less than $2 million
on the
cap
deal.
Hit that you could have really, and they did do a great job building the team. It's one of those where you're going to look back because this team was so great everywhere, you really needed to win this one.
But now I have no concerns about Hurts, and I'd rather be in that spot where you have to pay the quarterback and you actually believe in the quarterback compared to how many guys, Hickey, that get paid and were like,
I'm not sure. Yeah. But just tough that the team was great.
Yeah.
Probably should have won it, and you're not going to probably as good of a team again.
You're not wrong on that, but that's when you once again expect your franchise quarterback to elevate, step up to the plate, and deliver even more than he delivered this past year, and that's saying something. News brief next, back in five, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.